How did your days of unleavened bread go? Was there a time when you really ate bread? Well, when we left the doctor this morning, I was glad to be over with that, and we thought we'd have something to eat.
Oh.
So I thought, maybe a croissant or two. And we went to the diner, and my wife went ahead and made the order. And when she came back with the food, there was no croissant. I said, wait. She said, do you remember? You know, that happens every year. Every year we nearly, sometimes we even bite into bread or something because the devil is always on our heels and he wants to get us defeated. He wants to get us down. He wants to get us out of God's way. But God is able, and I'm trusting and hoping that we all did all the cleaning we had to do, all the preparation we had to make. Don't be surprised if you find some cookies somewhere under the bed, the pillow or something, because it happens all the time, because sin is always present and is really roaring to get us in continual trouble. I was asked to speak today, and I was wondering, what could I speak about? What could I speak about? I'm sure the subject of sin has been fully covered. Even though we've not all gotten over sin, we yet have to strive to do so. But it's always present and rearing its ugly head. Let's turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 11. This verse occurred to me when I was in the hospital. I asked my wife to look it up for me. I must also say I'm delighted that my wife is ordained a deaconess.
Yes.
In the midst of all my pain and trouble, what a gift to receive. And I thank God for her, and I thank God for this elevation for her. In the book of Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, and this verse stuck with me, and I thought I'd spend some time with it. How much time do we have? An hour? Maybe not, but I'll do the best I can to condense. It says, for the gifts, plural, and calling of God are without repentance. For the gifts, plural, and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, we don't have to repent to get the gifts of God. They're given to us freely. How many gifts do you have for God? Innumerable. Some of us can sing. Some of us can speak. Some of us can do all sorts of things that are natural gifts from God. And we ought to rejoice in them. Remember, the pastor this morning spoke about gifts. In Jeff's sermon, I heard the term gifts. So gifts are important. You cannot buy a gift. A gift is something freely given to us by God. Not only does it speak about gifts, but singly it says, and calling the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Many years ago in the days of Worldwide Church of God, you had to know that you were called into God's church. Only a couple of minutes ago, Mr. Davis said, this is not a denomination. This is not a Protestant movement. This is the work of God. And God has called us. Has he called you? Many years ago, I had a sermonette on, are you called? Or are you simply coming here on a Saturday because it's a nice place to hang out? But the calling of God is something we all need to know that we have. We didn't go to the minister and say, I'd like to join the church. It's near to me. The minister is handsome. The choir is dynamic. You don't join God's church. God places you into his body. So my sermon today is, when God called you. The remaining question is, has he called you? You've got to know for yourself, if you just joined this church because of whatever, or if God called you and placed you here. When God calls you, you know it. You don't say, it's a nice church. I'm off on Saturday, so I come. No! You have been called by God here. You remember when Israel was itching about a king? Because all the other nations around them had kings, and they said, well, we want a king too. Who are we that we can't have a king? God said, if you want a king, it means you are rejecting me. You can have a king. What about that tall guy down there? He's known as Saul of Kish. Saul, son of Kish. And so, they got Saul, the son of Kish. And God was working with Saul nicely, even though many times Saul is a little recalcitrant. Remember when Samuel was late for an appointment? Saul usurped the authority to offer the sacrifice, and God was not pleased. And so Saul began building up a lot of negatives against God. But you see, when God calls you, you got to obey God. Who was it that said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken rather than the fat of lambs? And brethren, that's a problem we have in God's church. People do not like to obey. In our society, they said, I'm not going to obey my husband. Obey? Take that out. And so everybody comes up with his own marital vow, what he wants to put in there, nice and sweet. But God demands obedience. And when Saul disobeyed God while he was yet in power, this is a very important point. God had David anointed. While Saul was still king, Samuel went down to Jesse's house and anointed the little scrawny guy who kept the sheep, because he was God's choice. But God has a way of calling us to his service. God has a way of calling us, and we are to know that God has called us. You've got to go into your mind's inner recesses and see if you can think of a time and remember when God called you. Here am I. I was raised in Sunday school, active with young people in the church at that time. Young people's president, district president, and all that kind of stuff. I was, as they would say, on my way. But a friend of mine back in the Caribbean, I know his name to today. His name was Willard Prout. He told me, listen, Mr. Morgan, I know you like Bible and all of that, but there's this program coming from Barbados. It's called, what is the name? The Radio Church of God. Listen to it and tell me what you think. I proved to be a very bad friend. Never really got back to him to tell him what I thought of it. I became so involved, I became so rabid, my mind started exploring with the knowledge of God. I was doing a course from England entitled Scientific Salesmanship. And I put that course down and I started reading rapidly. Reading. What was happening to me? God was calling me, even though I was committed to the other churches. God was calling me. And brethren, you've got to have a line of demarcation. You ought to know. Subject of the sermonette or sermon is, when God calls you. My life has not been the same since that time. That was way back in 1963. It was just from one step to the next. Next, I gave up the ministry I was in. I couldn't stay there. It wasn't the truth. I was reading magazines and booklets and everything. Anyway, God was calling me. He was changing my mind. He was changing my entire behavior. And then it was worked out for me to come to this country to an evangelical ministers' conference. I came, and I was walking on New York Boulevard. It's now called, get the name, Guy Brewer Boulevard, the Jewish guy. When I was in there, this lady came in whom he knew, and he was, of course, ribbing me. He was Jewish. He said, "Oh, that guy is Jewish, and he's a preacher." And she came over and said to me, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Well, yeah, preacher, you know." She said, "My pastor just died. His son has taken over. Would you come and speak for us one of these days?" I did go by and spoke for them. And instantly he hired me. He said, "We would like to have you come and assist me here. Because I'm here by myself. Please come." He said, I'll pay you. The next thing I was on the payroll. But I had heard St. Trinidad, the wonderful world tomorrow. And it had not escaped my mind. I knew what I had heard. I knew the truth of God. But here I was in this big country. My family was still in Trinidad. And he said to me once, after many weeks of working with him, he said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" As a foreigner, as an American, you don't know what you're asking when you ask that type of an open question. "Of course you can do something for me. You can help me to get my green card. And my family is still in Trinidad." And step by step, it started happening because God had begun calling me, and I had resolved in my mind, I will obey God. When my former wife and my kids came, wife says, "I don't want to be part of this church, the church that I was affiliated with." So I couldn't join. They didn't want me to join. They wanted me to join so badly. But God was calling me, and I knew what God had done in my mind, and I was not willing to give that up. When God has gotten a hold of you, brethren, you've got to obey God. Because to obey is by far better than to sacrifice. So when God calls you, you've got to come. Genesis 3. God came when he had made Adam and Eve. In the cool of the day, the word of God said, they heard the voice of God speaking to them. The second question of the Bible. You know the first was? The first was cynical. Has God said? But the first question of import and consequence. God calling to Adam and Eve. "Adam, where are you?" That is a sermon in itself. Because we are all somewhere in relation to God. We're here, we're far over there, you're quite over there. Remember Peter? He followed afar off. And today, many are following God's church afar off. Many have picked up themselves and gone. Because, I don't like this one. I don't like this. This is not the way. So God called to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:9. Because God has always been seeking after man. Since man went astray from God. And then God called Noah, Genesis 6. The word says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Again, God calling to man. And through Noah, God brought about a whole brand new world of human beings. Genesis 12. God said to Abraham, "Walk before me and be you perfect." God reaching out to man. "Walk before me." And that's what God is saying of us today. "Walk before me." and I will make you fishers of men. In the New Testament, let's look then to a first New Testament reference. Matthew 9 and verse 13. Matthew 9 and verse 13. But go you and learn what that meant, what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call, there's a word, Jesus Christ said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus' mission, brethren, is to call all mankind to himself. But God is calling us specifically. He called me, but he said, God doesn't speak to us today like that, verbally. But God called through circumstances. God put it in the mind of that young man to ask me to listen to that broadcast. And he put it in my mind to respond. And so we have a compilation of ways that God gets to us. And God calls us. The thing is, we've got to repent and we've got to respond when God begins calling us. Because Jesus said, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, this should ring a bell. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And God's work today is still preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The world is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That sounds good. But Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and verse 15 saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, you, and believe the gospel. Now, as he was walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, again, when God calls you, Jesus said to them, come you after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Verse 18. And straightway, that's one of the four marks of the Gospel of Mark, straightway, you find that word repeated in the book of Mark. And straightway they left or forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, then he saw James, the son of Zelotes, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway, there it is. He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Brethren, God called Adam, where are you? Jesus Christ came calling people to himself, and God calls us individually. God has no grandchildren. You've heard that. You cannot convert your children. God must call them individually. That means in many cases, we've got to live right before our children so God, they can see God in us and follow God because of the example we would have set. So Jesus came and he called, you see in one word, he called them, and straightway they left all and followed him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 and 26. It's amazing now people just come and want to come into the church. come to 2 weeks, I'd like to get baptized. Slow it down. We've got to see if God is calling you or if you're thinking that this is a fad. God has got to call you because this is a way of life. This is not or should not be like the churches of the world. Here is where God is working with us and our minds. You don't put pressure on the minister to get baptized. No, God must reveal to him, yes, this one is coming nicely. This one is obeying. This one is striving hard to keep the Sabbath. This one is striving to keep the holy days. It's amazing. People today, well, I'm not keeping the holy days now. I don't go. It's amazing. You can tell when God has called somebody, he wants to do God's will. When we came into the church, within weeks they were going to the feast. We didn't know anything about feasts and having to save tithe and all of that kind of stuff. But we were there. God worked it out for us. Some people haven't gone to the feast in years. That's not God's will, brother. You've got to obey God. You've got to do what God has called you to do. Verse 26. For you see your... there's that word again. For you see your calling, brethren. How is it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called? That word again. We are average folk. We aren't brilliant. Maybe you are. I'm not. But yet God has deigned to call us. Because God has something in mind for us better than what the world offers. For you see, you're calling, brethren, that we ought to be able to obey God and do his will when God calls you. Another reference to calling. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And it goes on. First Thessalonians 1:11, another reference. Anyway, the references are plenty concerning calling. Let us go to another one in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart. Brethren, when you're called into God's church, you've got to deem yourself sanctified. There is a reason why God called you and not your cousin. God knows what he's doing. God called you and not your brother at this time. When I first came into God's church, I finally told my brother, oh, I found it. He couldn't care less. But God is calling you now. Your brother's turn will come. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means totally. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you sanctified, brethren? Do you feel sanctified? Do you feel set aside? Do you feel different? Last week, my wife was called for and set aside by the United Church of God and God's work for working with God's people. In 1990, I was called by the ministry, set aside for the work of God. And I've always felt special, not better. But if the work of God saw something in me that God revealed to the leadership, sanctify this one. Set him apart. You should feel similarly sanctified and set apart because God has something greater in mind for you to do. But I'm not getting ordained. That was rampant when I came in. When I came in, Spokesman's Club had about 32 guys. And everybody, I want to get ordained. Look over my shoulder. All of those guys are gone. All of them. I can't think of one guy from that 30-somewhat guys who was there who's still with the work of God. I'm not sure if they're with other branches, so to speak. But God knows what he's doing. So he said here that the very God of me sanctify you. And listen to verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth, calls, that is still calling, that calls you, who also will do it. If you put confidence and trust and faith and hope in God, God will do it. God is still in the calling business. In the Gospel of John, this story you remember, John 11, the story of Lazarus, chapter 11. You remember the story, Lazarus, Mary and Martha, friends of Jesus. Jesus was their friend. And when Lazarus upped and died, the entire community was touched by his death. He was so well known in the community that they couldn't believe it. So they came in droves to mourn with Mary and Martha the loss of their brother. And Jesus, when he got the word, he said, all right, I'll be there. And it seems as though he was dragging his foot. He wasn't really rushing to go. And he said, he's asleep. I'll come shortly and we will deal with his passing. When he got there, the house, the yard, all around, they were mourning the loss of Lazarus. Verse 23. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. That is good confidence, isn't it? At the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he died, or though he were dead, yet shall he live. Positive, confident statements, assuring. Verse 26. And whosoever lives, that's us, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Our physical body will die. That's a part of the sin that came into the world in Genesis 3. Shall never die. He that believest thou this? Do you believe this? Verse 27. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. Notice verse 28. And when she so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calls for you. The Master is come, brethren, and he's calling for you And he's calling for you to obey him and to follow him and to do his will. So Jesus and God the Father are still in the calling business. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Let's start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the resurrection of the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath been given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Brethren, we ought not to be here because we don't know what we're doing. That's why some days you get up and you don't feel like coming. Maybe God didn't call you. You ought to have a burning passion to be here, because here is where God dispenses his truth. Here is where God gives inspiration. Here is where God's truth is maintained. Has called us to glory and virtue. Brethren, God is still calling people, and God, thank God, has called us. Ephesians 1 and 12 scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Are you walking worthy of God? Walk worthy of what? Of the vocation wherein you are. There's a word. Wherein you are called. If God has called you, brethren, there's a certain behavior you ought to have. You're no longer in the world, or of the world. You ought to walk with a certain dignity, a certain respect, a certain honor to God, because you're not any longer your own. You've been bought with a price. You ought to be different. You didn't join this church. God put you here for a reason, to be a witness to his righteousness. Walk worthy of the truth and the gospel into which you've been called. Another scripture before we bring this to an end. Look at the book of Hebrews. You know, the word is replete with information about the calling of God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. I hope this whets your appetite to give you an understanding that God is still in the calling business. God knows what he's doing. He knows why he hasn't called your sister yet. You're mad that he hasn't. He hasn't called your brother yet. Because you see, brethren, this, very important statement, this is not the only day of salvation. But doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians that this is the day of salvation? Oh, it says that. All right. But that original verse is taken from Isaiah. I think it's 42:9. And the word is a day. A day of salvation. Your brother, your cousin, your parents, they will come for salvation. God is not done with humanity yet. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, we call holy brethren. Sometimes do we believe, do we behave like holy brethren? Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly, what's that word? Partakers of the heavenly calling. Do you deem your calling to be heavenly? Do you deem your calling to be signet, separate, distinct, and meaningful. It's sad when I see many people picking themselves up and going somewhere else. This isn't the church into which I came. This is a heavenly calling, brethren. And God expects us to honor it. God expects us to walk the walk. And walk as though we've been distinctly called by God for a time as this. And if God has called us for a time like this, we can do no different. We can do no other but obey Him. The Word of God is filled with truths. I like to find them. I like to make them meaningful. There was a time Christ was speaking to a crowd of people, and great speaker though He was, not everybody stayed afterwards. And to His chagrin, maybe disappointment, maybe the glee of the Pharisees who were standing by, the Word of God said that after you had done, people began walking away. Because that was not the only day of salvation either. And Jesus said to those who had stayed, He said, "Will you also go away?" And to the Jesus Christ who came to call sinners to repentance in their time, who has called us now because this is our day of salvation, He's saying, "Will you also go away?" God help us to heed the call of God and be true to God.